What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Of the division that he played in, his first year, he was the MVP the second year, and the only reason he probably wasn't MVP this year is because they have a rule that once you turn 18, you can't play anymore. And so he played in seven games, and then he turned 18 in December, last December, and so he was done. But he was averaging like 18 and 10 or something, and a block and a half a game. So, like, there might be something there is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not guaranteeing anything.
When Cobb started reading out his numbers, I kind of had the same thing. It's like, this guy could be a fine. But, you know, at the same time, I didn't want to put expectations on some player that I've never seen play.
Right, and I don't think anybody should. Like, you are rolling the dice. You are gambling a little bit when you go this route. And, you know, you're taking somebody who, you know, not a lot of people know about. This is not like a highly prized international prospect. This is a guy who, it seemed like pretty under the radar. However, he's got the size. I think they list him at 210 pounds. So he's a little bit on the thinner side, but, you know, we'll see what happens when they actually get him here. And by the time the season rolls around, maybe he's added a few pounds, but, he's only been playing basketball for the last 4 years. I think he only picked up a basketball 4 years ago is what he told me. And, but at the same time, you know, he explained it to me was ever since he made the move, 'cause he bounced around Africa, from a few different cities in South Sudan. And then he went to Nairobi in Kenya. And then from there, he went to Serbia. He's basketball is morning, noon, and night. It's everything basketball for the last 3 years. I talked to his development coach, Milan Gorovic, who told me that, like, he's extremely high on this guy. Obviously, he's like, it's one of his guys, and he thinks he's got NBA talent. This is a guy who played overseas for a long time. Gorovic did, and I think he was the MVP of a Serbian league back in the mid 2000s. So he's pretty good, and knows basketball, it seems like. So, but again, we all have to reserve. Let's not expect too much. Let's wait till he gets here and go from there.
Munns, we appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, again, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. We have finally seen the Grizzlies tip it off in summer league. George and I will talk about that. Also, get into a little bit of college football during hour number two. Stick around. We got the list coming up next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Right now over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, the Summer of 1,000 Engagements is going on right now, and that means you can save up to 40% during the sale. Plus, for a limited time, get a free Yeti Tundra cooler with your purchase. Proposals need ice, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering it in more ways than one. If you spend $24.99 or more, you will get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. Robert Irwin Jewelers has become the number one place to buy an engagement ring. Why? Because you get peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can do what I did, which is customize and build a brand new engagement ring by simply buying a loose diamond and then have Robert Irwin Jewelers create the setting for you, and you can do so with peace of mind. 365 days, no questions asked, to return it at the full purchase price. They have more choices in every budget because they've got the largest collection of natural diamonds and a wide selection of lab-grown diamonds as well. They give you options. Robert Irwin Jewelers will save you money. They are the lowest price on GIA-certified natural diamonds at the lowest price here in the Mid-South. If you're already married and you have an engagement ring but you want to upgrade it, let Robert Irwin Jewelers do that for you as well. There's no better time than now to head over to Robert Irwin Jewelers during the summer of 1,000 engagements going on right now. You can save up to 40%. And with every purchase of $24.99 or more, get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. You can propose now and pay later with lots of financing options, like taking up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. The Summer Grizz. All right, over the weekend, we learned a couple of things about the Grizzlies. Number one, we've learned that the Grizzlies are trading Jae Huff to the Pacers for, I believe, a second round, as well as a second round pick swap. But that also cleared the roster space needed for the Grizzlies to go and sign Jock Landale, of course, former St. Mary's, of course, pride of the West Coast Conference, but he is an Aussie. He was on the Rockets last year. But I think for me, this move was pretty simple in the fact that if you know you're going to be without Zach Edey for a while, Jock Landale allows you to play a similar style than Jae Huff would. So to me, this was, you can debate whether or not Jay was the better player. There's no question to me who the better fit was, and Jock is a significantly better fit. And that was kind of how I took that move. I didn't really get mad online at this one.
No, I didn't think all too much of it, other than they kind of needed a big to clean the boards, set screens.
Offensive rebound, yep.
Can do a little bit off the pick and roll. I mean, we saw him plenty with Houston last year. He picked up a lot of minutes there. I mean, seeing him in person once or twice, he's a solid player. And coming in on a veteran minimum, I mean, you can't really complain about that too much.
Yeah, Chris Harrington put the idea in my mind. We also had the trade that was executed today, and it's going to wind up sending Kyle Anderson to Utah, and he wanted the idea of work out a deal, bring Kyle home, because Kyle could give you some versatility in the front court, whatnot. Is it something that he expects to happen? No, but when he put the idea in my head, like, I don't know. I was always a quiet Kyle Anderson guy. Like, yeah, the shot is what it is, but he always makes stuff happen. He sure. Also has the edge to him. But we also had the first summer league game. Do we know why they're not playing in the artist formerly known as the Delta Center? I think where Vivid Smart Homes Arena, the Jazz Home Arena, because this game was in Utah's arena.
So
are they getting work done?
Only thing I can think of is that they're getting more work done, but not for the Jazz, for
the hockey,
the Mammoth.
Yes. No longer the hockey.
Utah Mammoth. I assume it's that. I mean, we saw last year they played there for hockey, and it looked fine, better than Barclays, but it was still a little weird.
What I can't figure out, so now Ryan Smith owns both.
Yeah.
I would assume he doesn't want to just pour a bunch of money into the arena. He wants to build a new arena.
I think
that would serve both purposes.
I think that's the long-term goal,
yeah.
But when they acquired the artist formerly known as Utah Hockey Club, mm-hmm. It was, okay, they're going
well,
from...
Well, the artist formerly known as the Coyotes, come on.
Well, the artist formerly
yes.
known as the Coyotes. They were playing in a college
yes.
arena during regular season
correct.
Hockey games.
5,500-seater.
Yeah. It was going
on the campus of Arizona State.
Yes. It was a club hockey team
uh-huh.
arena, mind you. They're going from that to, okay, it might not be perfect, but the Delta Center.
Yeah, and that is interesting because Delta was one of the few that wasn't really multi-purpose. So, like, if you see that, whatever that arena is now, it's very close to the floor.
Yeah. It's and so, like, weirdly kind of vertical, yeah, too.
Like, well, they wanted to do that to make it loud.
So what I saw from last...
But they're going to have to, like, take out massive parts of that to build a rink.
So what they do for that, I'm pretty sure a lot of the seats closer to are...
Retractable?
Retractable. Or, like, fold up, essentially. And the parts where they really need to extend it for the boards and, like, where the Zamboni comes in and out, they don't have seating there. They just have, like, a screen of some kind, like a black screen, which it looked fine. I mean, it definitely looked better than a 5,500-seater. Yeah.
Okay, so then we also had the game on Saturday where the Grizzlies, largely behind the efforts of G.G. Jackson and Jalen Wells, they knock off the Thunder 92-80. The big notes that I had from this is, number one, it seems like we're not getting Cedric Coward this summer.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to look at it. They said, what, day-to-day kind of deal? Or is
I mean, he's coming back from a labrum. Like, this would still only be, what, 7 months?
He played 6 games, which gets him in at, what was that? October?
They started, college starts a little later, so I felt like he made it into December, but...
Even then, it's only 6-7 months at the most, so if it's a labrum, and I think, wasn't it more than just a labrum? Didn't he kind of blow his shoulder up?
I mean, to me, when you get labrum surgery, your shoulder's blown out.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect him in the summer.
So
he'll be ready for training camp, though. He should be.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. So the couple of notes that I had from what I watched was, it was good to see Jalen Wells look like the best player on the floor. And I know everyone gets excited about GG. I don't know. It's still, to me, the thing is, I don't doubt GG's ability to score.
Yeah.
But that's not the role he's going to be asked. Like, the things that we're not, and I don't think Summer League's going to tell us one way or the other, but it's like, how does he play team defense? And I think GG's actually going to have an opportunity early because they're going to need guys with size, and he maybe can play some four, and that gives him the opportunity to play. But I just think it's going to be very difficult for me to say anything definitively in summer league is going to make me feel better about GG, because the questions I have are all in the defensive end, and the guys that he's defending in that are not the guys that...
No, and I mean... The guys that the Thunder rolled out there that I looked at a similar way to GG and Jalen were, was it A.J. Williams?
Yep.
He looked really good.
A.J. Mitchell, sorry.
Mitchell, excuse me. Topic. Topic, yes. Also looked pretty solid.
Yeah, the one depressing thing that I had was...
That he's on their roster next
correct.
Year.
And...
He had some turnover issues, but like...
Yeah, I mean...
It's the first time for him playing organized ball in how long? Like so a year?
He tore his ACL before the draft, and, I mean, probably 13 months, but there had been people that followed the Thunder that were saying, hey, they're really high on this guy. Like, they knew they didn't need him this year, and so it's like, oh, they found another one. That
pretty
was
much.
The one depressing thing.
Yeah, I really like Jalen. GG looked good. A lot of what he did offensively is kind of what we expected and anticipated from what he's already able to do. You know, the quick, I mean, not even quick, but like short number, 1-2 dribbles to the rim, pretty expected and looked great doing it. I mean, Javon Small played pretty well. I think overall he manned the one pretty well, him and Pullen, but they were fine. Nothing crazy. I am curious to see if Meshack plays today. So he didn't play on Saturday because the transaction wasn't done.
Wasn't official, but he could play tonight.
Yes.
And so tonight's NBA TV.
Let me look. I think it's...
No, sorry.
ESPN Plus and NBA TV.
NBA TV, so they'll take on Utah, and I believe this game's also going to be at Utah's home arena. I think that's where they're playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see that. Again, Meshack would be something of interest. I don't know. Did you take anything... I know another topic of things people wanted to watch was... whether or not you'd get any indicators of Tuomas Isolo's style, offensive system. Man, it was really tough for me to sit there. It just felt like they rolled the ball out and said, let's go play.
That's kind of what it felt like. Defensively, it felt different because they were for sure a lot more high energy.
Yeah.
Picking guys up as far up the court as possible. There was a lot more defensive movement, I'd say. Like, just actual, like, not just... okay, moving to move, but actually picking guys up in the half court. And offensively, it was a lot of the same kind of pick and roll. but it didn't stagnate. If you know what I
mean. No, yeah, I mean, it felt active. And obviously the Grizzlies still had a few guys that have played and played a lot.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So they had familiarity of, okay, what they were trying to do. Because, I mean, three of the Grizzlies starting five were guys that played
NBA ball last year.
Right. So you had Cam, Jalen, and Gigi.
Did Pullen get any actual minutes with the Grizzlies, or was he like a late season kind of two-way pickup? I don't think he actually got any...
There's so
real
much of that
NBA
end
minutes.
Of the year where it was like it was so depressing to turn on the games
that we kind of forget about a lot of it.
So Zion,
I thought he got hurt at some point.
He had three appearances.
Were they all kind of garbage time?
Let's see. Game log.
I ask because I don't really recall a ton of him with the Grizz.
He actually got there were like minutes in February, yeah, but everything was like truly game, like
garbage time.
Yeah.
He didn't look bad. I kind of assume they're going to keep him on a two-way. So with that, how many two-way spots do they have right now? Just the one, is it?
Well, are you assuming that Mayshak's going to be on one?
I'm assuming Small is going to be on one.
So
because
then,
they didn't give him a full contract and they upgraded Spencer from a two-way.
Okay, so I believe on Chris's handy-dandy depth chart, Zion was listed as a two-way.
Because he's still on the two-way from last year.
Right, but I don't think he declared one way or the other about Small, because his other thought is, with the Grizzlies needing some front court help, that maybe the two-ways are a little bit undecided, because if they elect to do what they did last year with Jay Huff, which was they found Jay Huff, they played...
Give him a two-way for what, like 2-3 months? And then if
yeah,
he plays
found,
well...
The Grizzlies played the Magic early,
yeah,
and that was when they found Jay Huff, and then they picked Jay Huff. I don't remember if he was on a Magic two-way. I think he was just on the Magic Summer League, and that's how he wound up on the Grizzlies. Originally as a two-way, and then they converted it.
Yeah, honestly, am I crazy for thinking that maybe they could or should just do that with Bacot? I mean, so, he played really well for the Hustle last year.
So the thing with Bacot is, you know, he's going to rebound.
Yep.
The only question I have is, how comfortable are they with him having to defend
NBA
real bigs? Because he is, like, the reason why Bacot stayed in college for as long as he did was size. Certainly wasn't a production aspect.
No. Where does he, like, what...
I think they list him. I think they list him at 6'8", but
they list him at 6'10".
So I want to say maybe at the combine he was 6'8".
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, when you think about when you saw him in college, like, he was broad, but like you never thought like that's the big guy.
True. No, that's fair.
But I mean, to your point, they're not asking this guy to be the franchise cornerstone at the five.
If you can get him on a two-way and get some production, I mean,
yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean, he looked pretty good in the pick and roll. We know he can do that.
I always just think that they do defer to giving their draft picks the first shot. So I would think
it might be Small and Mayshak.
Yeah, those would be the guys that I think would get the first look. But I mean, to me, it does seem... I was a little surprised we got through the draft and they didn't... So while the Grizzlies have added Landale, they still sent Jay out.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little surprised that they didn't add somebody
on top of another big. No, I agree. And I think, for what it's worth, yes, they need more depth because we're not totally sure where Clark is in his recovery. I think Landale, if he ends up starting at the five game one, I don't hate that. I think it's a good enough fit. He was productive enough last year.
I mean, I think if you asked me today to predict who would be the starting five on opening night, I think it would be him.
Agreed. Unless they make some bigger move out
right,
there that we don't know about.
But I'm assuming, because I kind of thought until the injury to Jaren, I kind of thought the getting through it was going to be...
Slide Jaren to the five.
Yeah, a lot of Santi and Jaren. I mean, in the end, hey, boys, that's what we're paying you for. Like,
look... That starting five might not stop a lot.
But they can score.
They're going to fill it up.
They will be able to score. So, Again, the Grizzlies tonight, NBA TV, they'll be taking on the Jazz. So that game is 8 p.m. Central Time. Any other things you wanted to air out from the notebook of Saturday's game?
Not from the Grizzlies. With Utah and Philly, I mean, Edgecombe looked awesome. Ace Bailey was out there giving it 100%.
It is interesting to me that with the East, quote-unquote, wide open, I might sniff around and look on a Philly future.
That might be worth a little something.
I mean, who knows how many games Embiid does or doesn't play, but like, they do get a lot of guys back. And
Maxey was good. Paul George comes back. McCain comes back, who was electric to start last year. Edgecombe looked really good.
Are we sniffing around on LeBron's social media presence? So he went back to Akron. I assumed he was playing at Firestorm. So he's back in Akron playing golf. And what was the he had like a hat on. It said like welcome home or something like that. And then what the internet's really harped on is he worked out in the Cavs practice facility. Now, I've not done enough research. LeBron claims that he does this every year when he goes back home. I have no reason to second guess that. That is something that,
why wouldn't,
if you're going to throw that out there, it better be true, because we'll be able to easily track it. So I'm of the opinion, okay, I'll take him at his word.
Yeah.
If you're the Cavs, A, how do you make it work? Because you got to match the 53.9?
Or something like that. Yeah, was it 52.9? Yeah.
So, where is the, like, in the end, are you just saying he's going to get us over the hump in the playoffs, which is fine?
I don't know
if I'm really buying that one.
I don't buy it, because here's my thing. Like we just said, you'll have to give up $53 million worth of salary. Okay, where does that come from? Is that in Garland and Jared Allen or Hunter and someone? Okay, cool.
I think
those are all the guys that got you to the hump.
I think the thought is Mobley and Allen are redundant.
I mean, they kind of proved last year that's not exactly the case, I think.
I just don't think that what you'd end up, like, part of their whole strength is, if I'm Cleveland, I'm sitting there going, guys, it sucked that we got hurt when we did, but the strength of our team is, look at these teams that have been successful. It's because they can go 9 or 10 deep, and I get it, they're going to have to get rid of one or two guys, I think, salary-wise, but I would just sit there and go, roll the ball out and see if next year's different.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a move that's, if it were to happen, that's not happening during the offseason.
No, that feels like a February move.
That absolutely feels like a deadline type move. But like you said, a lot of their strength came from their depth. And the fact that a lot of their starting depth is also like A-plus talent.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, White Twitter. All right, I'd mentioned to you over the weekend, the one thing that kind of caught my eye is this might have been sneaky, niche white dudes really firing on Twitter, firing takes, because there were some, again, this isn't like widespread, but there were some events that really had white Twitter going this weekend. May I interest you in F1?
Both of us, as in we were texting about
correct
it.
We'll get into that in just a minute. Soccer.
We also,
the Gold Cup.
Yep, going back and forth on it.
Hot dog eating.
I was not locked. Plenty of people were.
But there were plenty of people that were. And again, these are not like major everybody's watching, but it's like all corners of the internet. The people that are into this stuff were super into it. All right. We also had All-Star Game / All-Star Game snubs.
For MLB.
For Major League Baseball.
Yep.
We had a street race for NASCAR in Chicago. And it is always funny watching those cars go three wide on city streets. Lots of takes. That was also a night thing. But then I think the peak white guy Twitter, Oasis's return on Saturday night in Cardiff.
That, I saw plenty of that.
And so, initially, like, I was following along going, all right, how's this going to go? We had Liam and Noel come out in an embrace. You're more into rock Twitter than I am. Is the actual story going that they're not doing this just truly for a search for more money? Which, honestly, I can kind of buy, because they could have done this search for more money any time during the last 5 to 6 years.
Sure.
And they've never done it. But the story is, their moms asked them to finally put the beef aside. And I may not have much time left on the earth. I don't want to leave the earth with my boys still, like, ruining. Is that the story?
I think that's more of the story. Like, obviously, you know good and well, an Oasis reunion, hello, cash money.
Right.
You're going to be making a ton. But I wouldn't put nothing into, there's more to this story than just they're going for the bag. There's got to be more, right?
The only thing that I can think of is, can you look up...
Because it's not a record deal type thing.
Well, yeah, but now you make all your money doing... Like, aren't they just playing stadiums?
Believe so.
So, Noel called it quits when Liam went after his, at the time, wife, right? And kids. I think he insinuated that one of...
That sounds right.
One of his kids, they should check the DNA that's not his. Which is a bold thing to say of your brother, but hey, that's rock and roll. And I mean, what, their last show, I think, is 09? I think they were still touring when I was in college. So I think 09 is their last show. We're coming up on 16 years. I can't decide, like, does this tour make it to the end? Because there's part of me that, while, like, I was not the world's biggest Oasis fan, like, they got songs that I like.
Of course.
Am I flying to Cardiff to go watch the boys reunite? No. But there's also a part of me that's like, if this really is Oasis back, like, they're going to have to break up at some point during this tour. Like, that's what Oasis is, man.
Doesn't make it to the end. Do we know how many shows it is?
So, I think they're going New York, LA, stateside.
Let's see.
I would assume they're going to play in London. I'm going to assume that they're going to play Manchester.
Let's see. I'm seeing Manchester. I'm seeing Wembley.
Yep.
So that's two. I'm seeing, is that a different one in Manchester?
I mean, they're from Manchester, yeah. So that makes sense. That they'll just...
Toronto as well over here.
All right, so I think there's an LA and there's a New York.
Okay, this is the actual tour. It is 41 shows.
In how many different cities? Because aren't they doing a lot of, like, posting up in a spot and playing multiple shows?
Yes, it is in... One, two. Eighteen different places. So you've got
and it
a
runs
bunch in the
through
UK.
When?
It goes from July through November. So you've got Cardiff, which they already did, Manchester, London, Edinburgh, Dublin, Toronto, Chicago, MetLife Stadium.
Yep.
Pasadena, Mexico City, back to London, South Korea, Tokyo, Melbourne, Sydney, Buenos Aires, Santiago, and Sao Paulo.
All right. Do they make it through all 41 dates?
If you had to ask me right now, I'm going no.
See, I'm in the weird thing where I think they're gonna make it, but I'm kind of rooting for them not for anyone that's bought tickets, cuz like, but I would also say, like, that's the risk you take when you buy an Oasis ticket.
Yeah.
Like, that was always the thrill, was whether or not they were actually gonna make it to the show. I also don't know enough, like, is Liam off the bottle? Like, there's always a time when, like, when someone gets a little sober and then they make it through, but then you're back on the road. Do they hit the bottle again? And I also don't know. Noel's had another divorce since. I never know how much, like, they always will claim it's not, we need money. But as a Blink-182 fan, I always said, the day that I saw Tom was getting divorced, I'm sorry for the kids, but I did give a little fist pump because I knew, oh, he's going to have to get back.
He's back.
He's going to be back with the boys. It was a matter of time, back with the boys.
If dates 1 and 2, so the 2 days there in Cardiff, are any indication, everything's fine.
This thing's going to be a monster.
Everything's going to go great. Now, mind you as well, by when they come to the U.S., they have a really good opening act as well that should help keep it together. Cage.
Yeah.
Is going to be doing a lot of those shows in the U.S. So, at the very least, if you gave me, like, a time and place, it might be just before they go to East Asia?
Yeah. I did also
because a lot of the times, like, they're not going to want to, especially with a band as big as Cage. I don't think they're not going to want to burn that bridge, you know?
Yeah, and I think you can always just suck it up for 2 hours. Like this
now
stage,
is the 2 hours at how many?
Well,
different
also
events?
Like sometimes, like when they're fighting in the middle of the show, like those were great shows.
That's true.
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. All right, and then F1. All right, we had F1 at Silverstone, so. For F1 fans, like this is one of the great races of the year. George and I were locked in. It was absolutely thrilling. But the biggest story of all, not Lando Norris winning his own home Grand Prix. The biggest story of all is Nico Hülkenberg finally getting a podium after, was it 283 races?
It was over 200. It's in the two. It was like 239.
It's insane. It's like 11 years of racing.
He's never gotten a podium.
Correct.
He is in his early to mid-30s. He's been in the sport consistently.
Correct.
And this is his first podium.
First podium. And that's the thing. He's always, it's like, I did joke to George, he's gonna spin out on the last lap. Like
it's happened.
He's been close before. But the best part was I found myself, Lando's going nuts, dropping F-bombs on the air, and then everybody's having to apologize for him, and they're going nuts because the British boy wins the British Grand Prix. And I'm just sitting there going, can we please just go back to Nico? Like, it felt like the best party was Sauber with Nico getting his first podium.
And then meanwhile, in the cool-down room, you've got Oscar moaning to him.
As much as he, like, that's the most angry you're going to see him when he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, like, to me, like, he is
But that's
livid.
Fuming by his standard.
Yeah, he's not going crazy. It's just, if I talk about it, I will get in trouble. That's it.
All right, I got one last F1 take.
Yeah.
I do think it's fair to say Max spinning out probably got him the 10-second penalty, and I do think it's also fair to say I don't think Max was just spinning out because of Oscar slamming the brakes. I do think Oscar was knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
So I had no problem with the penalty.
I had no problem. Here was my thing with the penalty. I had no issue with it in terms of it was penalty worthy in that situation where he already had gone out to a 13 second lead. 10 feels very heavy, especially when
I do think
George
that-
did it in good conditions. This is not the first time Oscar's done it. He didn't get like talked to about it. And then to go from that to a 10 second.
Yeah. I think though,
feels a bit much.
I've made peace. Like when people try to do the FIA is not consistent. Well, yeah. Like
no, it's literally not. They have different stewards for every
correct.
Race. That's just like, what it is.
And I don't know. When I just saw the video, I was like, that's going to be a penalty.
Oh, as soon as it happened, I'm like, someone's not going to be very happy about that, but that's for sure coming back.
All right, Lando's back in the race. So the only thing that's interesting about F1 right now is which McLaren driver will win the Drivers' Championship.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, The Athletic is ranked the best rivalries in college football. Let's see if this spurs on a little football take workshop. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast?
With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
On FM, ESPN. All right, George, over at The Athletic, they have ranked the top 100 college football rivalries. And, well, I think it's an impossible task to begin with. But there are a couple of things that stand out. Some of these games aren't even rivalries. Some of these are just games that happen on a schedule. And so what I think what we should start with is we should come up with a standard of what we deem a great rivalry game. And so I think there's a couple of non-negotiables. Number one, I think you have to play every year.
Agreed.
All right. Number two, and this is kind of eye testy, but I think it should apply. If that game's on the schedule, like we find, you know, we see on Saturday, it's like, I'm watching that game.
Okay. I can get with that.
And then...
because not all of them are going to end up on rivalry weekend.
Correct. And as we've continued to change conferences, whatnot, it's... the game is going to be on the calendar every year, and it's a game I want to watch. All right.
Fair.
I'm pretty cool... on the top four. I used to think Michigan-Ohio State was a little overrated from a brand standpoint, but I think the Harbaugh factor has really amped that thing up to where when you realize this year, Ohio State kicked the tires on possibly firing Ryan Day because they lost to Michigan in such horrifically embarrassing fashion. And also, I think as some of these SEC rivalries get a little bit watered down, because I don't know how frequently they're going to keep playing year after year after year, that one kind of went up for me, because I think the hatred level, which would be my third factor,
yep,
that's where it really cranks up.
Got to have some hate.
All right.
Got to have some venom to it.
Alabama-Auburn, it's still got the same. It's still got the same mojo. I think with Red River... It falls into the category of, like, when it's Red River week, it's like, I'm watching the game. Even if, like, I don't think it's going to be that good of a game, it's something I just end up watching no matter what.
Yeah, especially when they, until maybe recently, I don't know if they're going to still keep doing it at a neutral site, semi-neutral, I guess I should say. That's pretty big time. They packed that thing out.
It's the same thing of why, like, even though Florida Georgia has not been like, it seems to be like one team dominates it for a stretch. There's something about when you watch the stadium and it's half and half.
Oh,
I'm in.
Peak.
I'm in. All right, then Army, Navy, same thing. It's going to be in there. This is where it starts to get a little interesting for me. I've always viewed USC Notre Dame as more of a sports writers game than it is like appointment television for me. With that said, though, it's still a good uniform game.
Great uniform game. When was the last time they played?
So they
feels like it's been a minute.
Last year, I think, was a... Last year was the end of the year at USC.
And then before then, was there a...
They've been still playing regularly. This is going to be the year where perhaps it's the last one.
Gotcha.
I still think it's a little overrated, but at the same time, I think I'm okay with putting it at 5 from a brand perspective. This is where we start to get into problems. Number 6 is Nebraska-Oklahoma. That game was a big game in the Big 8. You cannot include this ever since Nebraska went to the Big 10.
I was about to say.
They played periodically, but like, no.
It's not on the slate every year. They're in completely different conferences in both conferences. At this point, don't typically schedule against each other.
It can't be in the top 10.
Agreed.
All right, 7 is Miami, Florida State.
So they play every year.
They do play every year.
In the same conference, and a lot of the times they're both at the top of
the
conference.
And I feel like every time we watch this game, it's raining.
Oh, yeah, because it's either in Tallahassee or down south.
Yeah.
I don't hate 7.
I think it's high, but I'm fine with it. Like, those are two brands.
Good brands, usually play high-quality ball.
The game usually feels significant.
Yes.
Ohio State, Penn State, they have met 40 times previously.
That was my big thing.
Like, the whole joke of the game is, like, how much is Ohio State going to beat Penn State by? There are three outcomes. Ohio State can win by a little, Ohio State can win by medium, and Ohio State can win by a lot.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it's 26-14 out of those 40 times.
This would be my other argument against Florida State, Miami. I think Florida State's a better game.
Yes.
That comes in at 9. I'm always more interested in that game than I am.
To me, that feels like more of a rivalry. If they'd flipped those two slots, I think I'd be more okay with it. But I don't think Miami-Florida State doesn't deserve to be up there in this ranking. Again, this is the top 100.
Correct.
Like, we get into some interesting ones deeper.
Rounding out the top 10, I'm sure everybody's been waiting for this one. Minnesota and Wisconsin. Now, it's another game that I never know which. It's a Paul Bunyan game, but I don't know if it's a trophy, if it's an axe, if it's a bucket. I just know that Paul Bunyan has something to do with a Big Ten trophy, and that's a game. Is there ever been a Minnesota or Wisconsin fan that's like, this is the biggest rivalry on the calendar?
I am neither of those, so I'm going to assume probably yes. I don't think it should be 10.
They've played 134 times. That does help, but at the same time, it's like, I don't sense great hatred there.
No.
Alabama-Tennessee comes in at 11.
Is that recency? Because the last handful of games have been really, really good.
No, it is always historically the third Saturday of October. I would actually argue it's the opposite. Recently, we've started to get good games, but this series is like, it's kind of in the Florida-Georgia category where it's like,
one team's really good, like, one the other.
Yeah.
They back and forth. Okay.
They ping pong.
Gotcha.
12 is Georgia-Florida.
I think we both agree that might be higher.
Alabama-LSU, it's one of the newer ones.
It's pretty darn good.
But it's a good one. USC-UCLA, nobody cares.
You have more experience here. Do people on the West Coast care?
In L.A., not really.
There you go.
But I think it's more of a UCLA problem than it is a USC problem.
Totally agree.
But also a good uniform game, and that's one of those games that we've allowed them both to wear their home jerseys. It does look good.
Oh, come on.
All right, and this is where my football take workshop begins.
Okay.
Number 15 on the list is Texas and Texas A&M. And my football take workshop is, I think in 15 years, this is going to be pushing for the biggest rivalry in college football. couple of reasons. Number one, no matter how much they don't want to, the SEC is not playing around. They're going to play every single year.
Yeah.
Number two, I think the way that the sport is headed, whoever can fund it the most, those are going to be the best teams. I think they're going to have the chance to be very good for a consistent period of time. And then number three, there's real hatred.
You've put it in all three buckets that we've talked about.
And that's where I think it's headed.
I agree. I think that's a good take.
I would also argue there's a couple of games that are criminally underrated. Number one, Utah-BYU, that game's underrated.
Why is that at?
It's at 28.
28?
I think it's brand.
That could just be poor branding, but...
But now they're in the same conference. They don't like each other. There's now like a new money versus like...
Classic, like, correct. Just Utah's been good forever.
Yeah, and BYU's deal. Like buying their way to success, so that breeds like animosity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that one could be up there. So, the Egg Bowl comes in at 23, and George and I were talking about this. I think really for me, the Egg Bowl peaked freeze Mullen because the blood, like the animosity reached an absolute fever pitch, and the teams had started to be good enough to where it wasn't just something that was happening over there.
Yeah.
I've just noticed in the last, I mean, really, it's like since Freeze and Mullen have left, like, the animosity is always going to be there, but it also doesn't, it feels like it's not as intense.
True.
And I'm just not as convinced that, like, I think Ole Miss is going to be committed to being good in football, but I'm just not convinced that Mississippi State's going to sit there and go, we're going to spend whatever it takes to be good in football.
Based on their recent decisions, yeah, I mean, I have to agree with that.
I mean,
and, like,
I think
that isn't, and that isn't coming from...
No, I think there's a case to be made that Mississippi State has made a decision, rather than maxing out spending $20 million on our football team to go 7-5, we will, what's the difference? You know, we can schedule four conference non-con games. We can try to win two, get to six, spend $13 million, and then we can spend the rest in a sport that we also care about, which is baseball, and we're going to try to be a national power at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Again, we don't know the exact blueprints, but it seems like that's what they're signaling. So that's been something I've been eyeing. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, for today's Don't Tell The Story, tell your story. We got to go with ESPN. And it's a sad story because Bobby Jenks lost his battle to stomach cancer over the weekend. And it's just an awful situation. Here was ESPN's tweet originally announcing his death. Did somebody screenshot it? Essentially, they credited Bobby Jenks with being on the roster. Yeah, Bobby Jenks, a two-time All-Star pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, who was on the roster when the franchise won the 2005 World Series, died on Friday at Sintra, Portugal, the team announced. He was the starting closer!
I was about to say, he closed the World Series when they won it.
He had two saves! Nice job.
Okay, good job, guys.
The worldwide leader. They then went back and said, Bobby Jenks began the 05 World Series with a save and ended it with one, helping propel the White Sox to their first title in 88 years. The team paid tribute with a moving video remembrance of Jenks, who died on Friday at 44. You don't always have to tweet.
No, you could have
just saying,
done it right the first time.
There you go. Yeah, if you're going to do it right. If not, sometimes someone else can have the tweet. Want to thank Coach Hurd for being with us early, as well as Jason Munns. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.